welcome to the 13th Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. I'm John Gibson, and with me as usual is Jim Allen. Hi, Jim, how you doing?
Hey, John, I'm doing really good. 13, wow, seems like 15 to me.
seems like 15, maybe 16 to me, but hey, hopefully this never happens again.
We had some technical issues the first
technical difficulties.
We're going to carry on, man.
Carry on. Fight to the finish. We're going to keep working until there's 27 outs.
That's right. You know, until it's over.
We have to start the show by saying congratulations to Derek Jeter. He got his 3,000th career hit today, so congratulations, Jeter.
Wow, from the heart, John. From the heart. For what a great Yankee he is.
Yeah, I'm not a Yankee fan. Like, I don't even wear anything with stripes on it because I don't like the Yankees. But it got me to thinking, who is the active hits leader in Japan? And I guessed right. I'll give you guys, the listeners.
John Gibson a hand, everybody. Yeah.
While you're giving me a hand, you have had time to think about it yourself, and the answer is?
The guy you picked, Takuro Ishii, the very wonderful gentleman who wears number 25 for the Hiroshima Cubs.
That's right, and he's got 2,413 hits, so he's got quite a ways to go, and he's not getting the playing time, so let's just put the 3,000 away for him.
When he got to 2,000, he said he was aiming for 3,000, but that won't be happening at his age.
His aim is off. But congratulations to Jeets. We got a whole bunch to get to today. We've got an interview with Brian Falkenborg of the SoftBank Hawks. We're going to talk about the 3.5-hour time limit rule and how it's having an impact on the game. We're also going to talk about our All-Star picks. So let's get going with clearing the bases.
Okay, well, I talked to Brian Falkenborg, the super setup man for the Hawks this week, last Wednesday at Cebu Dome, and he has a 1.6 ERA in his third year here, and this is before the low-impact ball, and his career whip is 0.86, so it's really hard to imagine him being calling him anything but outstanding.
Yeah, and he's been good before the low-impact ball. He was outstanding at that point, so... you know, you would think with this ball he'd be on top of the world.
Well, no. In fact, he thinks the ball is nothing's changed. But, you know, he doesn't think anybody's hitting home runs off of him. But we'll get to that. That's another story.
Well, I did a story on him last season, and he basically said, hey, the fewer times he has to talk to the media, the better. Because simply because a guy like that who comes in as a setup guy, he's only getting talked to when he's blown something, when he's blown a lead or you know, worse, you know, blown the game.
Well, he was having a camper the other night because the Hawks won, two, he didn't pitch. And and he did get to see, as much as all we ever seem to do is talk about the new baseball and how it's affecting the game, he did get to see Takei Nakamura hit a home run out to deep center, to the right of the scoreboard at Cebu Dome, which is quite a blast. So he has a theory that it's basically a mental adjustment that the hitters are getting wrong, that they're not hitting because they think the ball is killing.
Well, let's take a listen to the interview.
I think that the longer I've played here,
right,
there's adjustments being made.
Right, of course.
What I do, and then I'm trying to make some adjustments to their adjustments.
Right.
And when I make my adjustments, then it'll, you know, kick the ball back there and say, all right, now, you know.
Right.
It's near court.
Well, the batters have been making adjustments to the ball. I mean, they've seen guys take a bigger swing, for one thing.
Well, and you know what? But I think that is, I think that's in a lot of guys' heads.
Okay.
I think third baseman here doesn't seem to have a problem hitting the ball out of the yard.
No.
I don't know, like, the yearly stats, but I would say our team hasn't had a problem scoring runs.
Scoring. You guys have been hitting for average. I think you have been staying within yourselves is the difference.
Well, I think that might be an advantage of the Yahoo Dome is it's the biggest, maybe one of the biggest parks in the league, and you don't come into our place thinking about homers.
Right.
So maybe our guys kept their focus
the same
as opposed to some of these guys that play in the more homer-friendly parks. I feel like some of the Giants, you know, might have changed a little bit. But, you know, either go back to the way it was and take your base hits and maybe have a few less homers.
Right.
Or you can hit 200.
Or you can be Nakamura and just be an alien.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't look like he's overswinging.
No, he isn't. And he's not hit, you know, he has lost his average. I mean, he used to do that with 300. Now he's hitting 250 and doing it. But he's got his nice swing. And,
yeah. I mean, big guy, if he hits it on the barrel, it doesn't matter which way it's going. In this park, he proved that. I mean, just a tad foul tonight.
Yeah, you know, and could have had two.
Then the right center. So those guys are tough to pitch to.
And also, of course, now we're getting into the heat of the summer, and the ball's going to be flying a little better, especially in places like this.
Yeah, and I think that in Japan, I think the pitchers might tire just a tad in the Japanese summer, and it might be a better opportunity for some hitters to do some better things. You know, I'm still waiting to see. You know, throughout the whole year, yeah, homers. Okay, homers might be down a little bit,
right?
But I'm talking about runs scored.
Well, they're still down by about a quarter.
Oh well, then, you know. Maybe, I don't know.
Okay. All right. Let's get
going. Take care. All right, so that was an interesting interview. Hulkenberg talked about the ball being in some guy's head. I got to be honest, seems to me that it's more in the numbers and not just in the heads. Maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong, but I think if you look at the numbers, everything's down.
Well, I think when you look at players, and we've talked about it before, when you look at players who've just gone from, you know, the penthouse to the outhouse, like Michihiro Gakiwara, you have to think some of it is in his adjustment. So, I think...
Yeah, I mean, adjustments are technical, they are mental, and, you know, you have approaches different ways, but, I mean...
You have quality hitters who are just disappearing. And I think some of that is good. That's not the ball. That's not just what they said, a 10% to... decrease in the distance the ball is going to carry. It's more than that. There's lots of things going on, and Falkenberg has given up two home runs in 77 at-bats this year as opposed to one home run in 742 at-bats the way he did coming into this season. So for him...
He's just getting lit up this year.
I know.
What's wrong with that dude?
I know. For him, this is like the flying ball. He wants to go back. He's the only one who wants to go back to the old one.
Maybe he's just not used to, you know, having to, you know, whip his head back and look at the ball flying toward a fence, you know, behind him. He hasn't had enough practice at it.
Yeah, he did comment, you know, that the Hawks playing in a big home run park aren't really thinking home runs anyway, and so that maybe they're keeping their, you know, batting within themselves, and that theory may work, but if it does, and it only works for the Hawks, but I'll tell you two things that are wrong with that theory. One is that they had Seiji Chikawa this spring, and they added Alex Cabrera, and Matsunaga is healthy. He hasn't been used a lot coming off the bench. But
that's probably why he's still healthy.
Could be. But they've all been productive, and they've got a better hitting team than they had last year, and they're still down by almost 100 runs. Well, they're down by about 30 runs, but their average is about where it is. Basically, they're just missing the home run. So if any team has the adjustments right, I think even with the Hawks, and from Falkenberg's point of view, he may be right. He may be that the difference this year is that batters are making bad adjustments.
Well, I mean, he talked about the Dome being a pitcher's park and how players don't go in there thinking about home runs, but and we know that that place grades out pretty low for home runs each year, even though they have a team that has power hitters.
You have to ask the question, then, if it's because the Dome is a bad home run hitter's park, how come the Dragons' offense, which is the worst home run hitter's park, and the Fighters' offense, when they play in an even worse, they play in the worst hitter home run hitters park in Japan, how come their offense hasn't been able to keep up? How come their offense is entirely going into the tank? Same with the Dragons, even though they play in tough home run parks.
Yeah.
So it isn't just the park, it's an intelligent adjustment to the park. And that's what the Hawks have been doing. But it's easy for him to think that it's not a big deal, but it is a big deal, and the Hawks have been able to deal with it better than anyone else.
And look at what's happening at Tokyo Dome, where the Giants, who traditionally in the past 4 or 5 years have just been banging the ball out of the park, their home runs are down. I think you had the numbers there.
Yeah, they're down about 117 runs this year. They're down...
compared to the same number of games last year?
Well, during the same period, I don't have actually the number of games. But the Giants went from 110 home runs to 47 this year.
Ugh. That's not just a mental adjustment, okay?
They scored 184 runs from April 12th to July 8th. This year, last year, in those same days, between those same days, they'd scored 301 runs with a 265 average. This year, they're getting 230. This is part of this general downward trend that I think we've talked about. Is so many different things.
Well, and this brings me to another point now. The fact that he said that Okawari-kun, Nakamura, Takeya, Nakamura has been able to keep his normal pace up.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to bother him.
That's not bothering him. And it got me to thinking, because I had a feeling, and you checked the stats, that Nakamura was pulling the ball more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's become a dead pull hitter. And he's adjusted because he can do that.
And you had the numbers on them from 2006 to 2010.
Yep. Yeah, Nakamura's gone from, he used to hit, for the previous 5 seasons, he was hitting 56% of his home runs out to left field. This is a big sample size. I was talking about 135 home runs. This year, he's hit 23 home runs, 19 of them out to left.
Yeah.
So he's gone from hitting a little more than half of his home runs to left to...
just yanking the ball.
83%.
Just yanking, yeah.
He's making an adjustment, and there's evidence that batters all across MPB are making the same adjustment, or trying to make the same adjustment, but not doing well.
Yeah, and you said, I think you talked about the drop of the drop in the home run per at-bat rate.
Right. Basically, what we're seeing is that people are trying to pull the ball. They're not trying to put them into play. They're not trying to put the ball to play in center field. Home runs to hit the center field are just disappearing. They're down by two-thirds per at-bat. Home runs to the opposite field are down by a third. Home runs to your normal field, if you're a right-handed hitter, the home runs to left field are down by about 7%. Same for left-handed hitters. They're down by about 7% to right field.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is guys are not trying to drive the ball to the opposite field. It used to be in Japan, a lot of home runs were hit to center field. Those have completely disappeared. The most interesting thing is not only are the home runs disappearing, but the flyouts to center field are disappearing. And if there are fewer home runs, normally there are more doubles, and we're seeing fewer doubles.
So guys are not even hitting the ball.
They're not hitting the ball that way. They're either not trying to hit the ball that way.
Right. They're either taking outside pitches the opposite way, or they're trying to pull everything.
Yep. They're not trying to drive anything up the middle.
Huh. So, well, yeah, then that
adjustment, and some guys are making it work, and then of course there's guys like Nobuhiro Matsuda of the Hawks, who really might not actually notice a new ball because all he does is pull the ball anyway. He doesn't know there's another way to play baseball, so he hasn't had to make an adjustment.
So essentially, if you're playing in right field, you can pull up a lawn chair when he comes up to
maybe
take a nap.
He hits about 2 or 3% of his home runs to right field.
Well, and I had a conversation when I went out to Jingu Stadium on Thursday and talked to Alex Ramirez, and he said because of the ball, the low impact ball, players have changed their approaches at the plate. And he said the exact thing, that guys are not trying to hit to the opposite field as much because they know they can't drive the ball that way.
Right.
And so catchers and pitchers are now throwing high pitches away from batters.
Right.
High fastballs. And they figure even if they give up hits, they're not going to leave the park.
Right. Well, that used to be a dangerous pitch at Tokyo Dome. A fastball up and away was an easy candidate for a shot to the opposite field power alley, because they don't actually have power alleys at Tokyo Dome. They have fans waiting to catch the ball.
Yeah, they have pop-up alleys.
So that has changed, and obviously the whole geometry of the game has changed. It's probably for no team more so than the Giants, who going from the, you know, having a real easy ball to get in the park where with no power alleys, they were used to getting those easy home runs, and those just aren't there anymore. And I think it's messing up a lot of people's heads.
Yeah, you know, I would like to say it's not, but I guess what happened is, you know, they talked about the ball being new. That first week we didn't really experience anything new. And then
a lot of home runs the first week.
Yeah, and then from that time on, it's just been different. And I remember the conversation that that we played here on the show early on, early episode with Matt Merton, who said, you know, the forkball seems to have more movement. And probably the hitters are talking amongst themselves. And part of this could be mental, but, you know.
The ball is different. The ball, a lot of people are telling me the curveballs are much sharper, dropping much more, and because of the different seams on the ball, mm-hmm. a little wider and a little higher. So that, now that's a real thing, but the question is how much, you know, the question is always going back to what are your fundamental core skills as a hitter? How can you apply that to hit the ball? It doesn't mm-hmm. matter. Whatever you were doing last year really doesn't matter, because the geometry has changed.
Right.
Pitches are a little different. Some of the pitches have changed their delivery. The ball's not carrying. The question is, how are you going to hit it now, not how did you used to do it before? Some guys may be changing their style too much. Some guys may be living in the past. I don't know.
Well, I mean, there are a couple guys out there. You mentioned Ogasawara with the Giants, who's struggling, and I've been picking on Masahiko Morino with the Dragons.
Mercilessly.
All season long.
He's going to take a bat to you someday.
I'm going to take a bat to him if he's
going
to. Oh, yeah. 208? He's
got a better
200 swing. In the number three hole. And, Ogasawara, yeah, he's got a better swing. Ogasawara, at least the Giants have thought, okay, let's take some pressure off him. Let's move him around in the lineup or something. But Ochiai, the skipper of the Dragons, Hiromitsu Ochiai, he hasn't even budged with this guy. He's left him in the number three hole.
He moved everybody up.
And if he were a foreign player, he would have. They would have bought him a ticket home already.
Right,
you know, not just dropped him to the farm. What's that?
He should be in the Dominican Republic. Hell, he might be in the Dominican Republic in December when they send their players over there for winter ball.
Yeah. And then I have to bring some of those Mizuno balls with him, of course. But you know, he's killing the team at hitting 200 in a critical spot in the lineup, and that got me to thinking about something else. But something that Josh Whitesell, when I was out there the same day at Jingu, talking to him about was that the 3.5 hour time limit has changed the strategy in that.
Right.
Batters are seeing more of the best pitchers. Because,
in this case, you mean best relievers.
And it could be best relievers, too. I mean, you know, obviously, starters are good, but he's saying all around the best pitchers. Because you're seeing guys in a starter, if the game gets to a situation where it's getting late, it's close to 9 o'clock, and it's still the seventh inning or maybe, you know, late sixth inning, that
right.
the managers can shorten the bullpen because they
sure.
know when the game's going to end.
Sure.
And because they're seeing more superior pitching.
Right.
Batting averages are down, and that could also be contributing to the lower numbers. And I thought that was really interesting.
I think that's true. In fact, I think we have seen fewer pitchers this year per game. The number of innings are down by just by about 4%.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'd say less than 0.4%, but we've seen about 5% fewer pitchers, which means, games by pitchers. So there's a disproportionate increase in the number of there's a disproportionate decrease in the number of pitchers. We're seeing fewer pitchers per inning.
Mm-hmm.
Fewer guys with 6.0 ERAs are getting into the game is what I'm saying.
Exactly. Because you can still, I mean, the strategy, the scope of the game can change because now you can send a guy out there in the seventh inning. You might be able to send two pitchers out there to handle, you know, two specialty pitchers, one for a left-handed batter, a lefty for a left-handed batter, and a righty for a right-handed batter if you want to, because you know the game's not going to go, you know, the full 12 inning.
But I don't think that's what we're seeing, because if we were seeing that, we would probably, the number of pitchers would actually be increasing when the number of pitchers is decreasing.
Right. They could do that, but what's happening, and what Josh Whitesell is saying, is that you're getting to the back of the bullpen quicker.
Yes. You're getting to the guys who don't need to be taken out for a one-point relief guy.
Right, right.
So that's disappearing. And what, you know, talking about that one point made me think about something that happened in the U.S. in the 1960s, when in 1962 they made the mounds higher and they made the strike zone larger. And power pitchers started taking innings away from finesse pitchers. Now, think about this. When a pitcher starts pitching more innings, what happens? When a good pitcher starts pitching more innings, he's not taking away innings from the number two guy, because he's going to keep throwing. He's taking them away from the guy at the end of the rotation, the guy at the bottom of the staff who's now probably working in AAA.
Mm-hmm.
So batters, again, as Whitesell pointed out, batters are getting fewer poor pitches to work against. So while the ball may be having a small effect, making it that much harder to drive is giving these big pitchers a chance to pitch more and more, which is further driving down runs. It's really a vicious circle for the hitters. Of course, and they're making more of a vicious circle by swinging at bad pitches.
Yeah. Well, again, then that goes back to guys maybe pulling more. If they get a pitch inside, they don't worry about if it's in the zone or not. They're saying, hey, this is the pitch I'm looking for, and this was the area I wanted it in. I'm going after it. And it's easy to hit mistakes, but it's hard to hit quality pitches and hard to hit balls.
Yeah. Pitches well, out we of the zone. When I talked to the commissioner's office before the season, they said, you know, this ball is not going to change play that much. It's only going to decrease the amount a ball is going to travel by about a ball hit to the fence. For example, a ball hit 100 yards, 100 meters might carry, last year might carry 90 meters this time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now that isn't a massive difference, except it changes, it starts a lot of dominoes falling. It triggers a lot of other things. When home runs are harder to come by, teams adopt different strategies. We've seen that this year with the massive increase in the number of sacrifice bunts.
Right.
I've never seen so many one-out sacrifices by guys who aren't pitchers. You see a lot of that this year.
Way too much.
I think we haven't seen the stolen bases we expected, but I think partly there's a reason for that. I think that pitchers have been ahead in more counts, and our managers don't tend to run when they're behind in counts. So it triggers a lot of things. I think we've seen that. We've seen better pitchers pitching more, taking away innings from guys who aren't as good. So that it's everything is pushing the runs down. It's not one. It is the ball, but it's triggering lots of things that aren't related to the ball.
And, I mean, also they didn't figure out how it would affect pitchers because Matt Merton, again, said that he's seen more break on the fork balls. He's seen more break on the fork balls, and he's seen more break on all-speed pitches.
Yeah, so, something else told me is his curveball was vastly better this year than it was last year.
Yeah, and Ramirez told me the other night, when they faced him the other night, that, I mean, he said the dude was too nasty. He said we just had no more chance.
Yeah.
And he was good before.
He's great location.
Right. And but he had an off season last year, so to speak. I mean, he was not in the same form that he was the previous year.
Right.
And then he's back again this year.
Well, he specifically, as I mentioned, I think last week or the week before, he specifically changed his delivery. And he changed his approach slightly to deal with a ball that was going to be harder to drive. And so he said it was difficult for him to distinguish between what was the ball and what was his delivery. But definitely he felt his curveball was sharper and a vastly improved pitch. and that's made. And you know, it's like if you take a pitcher who's got an A pitch and a B pitch, and you make his third pitch a B pitch or an A pitch, it changes. It makes his other pitches better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes him a better pitcher. Not, you know, his curveball can be 5% better, but if it makes it good enough that batters have to really be concerned about it, then that's a game changer.
Right. Now you said.
Go ahead.
Now you said the median start for starting pitchers really hasn't changed that much.
No, it hasn't changed. It hasn't changed at all. Median meaning the basically in terms of innings pitched,
mm-hmm.
The 375th longest start this year was 6 innings. Last year, during the same time frame, the 375th longest start was also 6 innings. That hasn't changed. But the best starters are eating up more innings.
Okay.
If you look at the 15 guys who were healthy in the rotation last year, who are healthy in the rotation this year, they're all pitching more innings. I'd say 14 out of 15, the one exception being the Eagles, Satoshi Nagai. He's down a little bit. But all these guys, you know, instead of 90 innings, they're 100 innings. Instead of 80 innings, they're 95 innings.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, you know, Wakui's not getting the results, but he's getting the innings. So mm-hmm. the big guys are eating up the innings. The bullpens have a little less work to do, and they're getting to the best guys in the bullpen faster. So, good luck, batters.
Yeah, I mean, you can understand why run production has been down and why guys are worried about the ball and all this other stuff. But, I mean, one of the other factors, I think, is the speed game, too. I mean, instead of trying to steal bases, it looks like they're just sacrificing guys over.
Yeah. That's
opportunity.
That's still a mystery to me. And the only explanation I've had is that better pitcher count. You know, I don't actually have a number of, for example, how often, you know, how many 0-2 counts there are compared in previous years, but.
Sounds like a mission for Mr. Westbay to figure out for us.
You know, he might be able to do that.
He might be able to do that.
He might. I did see more two-strike counts this year, about 5% more. And Tadahito Iguchi of the Marines said that matched his impression that more batters were getting behind in the count quicker. So if that is the case, you don't have as many opportunities to run. So that could be also. I think pickoff throws to first have been more pickoff throws per at-bat than before. I think the fact that there are fewer base runners makes it easier.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, the whole scope, like I said, the whole scope of the game is changing now when you know that, you know, you have 3 hours to complete the game. And I did a story, actually, I think it's going to appear in the paper this coming week. Talked to Shinya Miyamoto of the Swallows, and he said, well, you know, we do know that it's our job to get the game at least even if we're trailing. Get the game even by the ninth inning.
Right.
You know, we don't have to worry about winning it. And I believe they lead Japan in ties.
I was about to say that, and you beat me to the punch. Yeah, they have 7 ties.
Yeah, 7 ties. And that's big. The not losing part is big because, and I wrote a column about this last year when the Dragons were in third place in August, but they led the Central League in victories.
Right.
And you look at the standings, and the Dragons, you know, for all their struggles this season, they're 5 games over 500 only, but they're even in victories with the Swallows. They're 6 games back in the loss column, and the difference is the 6 ties that the six tie differential that they have with the Swallows, and those are big. You know, if the team knows that, you know, hey, look, we got to get this game even by the ninth inning. And the Swallows are not a big power-hitting team. They're the perfect team for this ball, I think, because they have a lot of guys who get on base and hit well, and they have really good at-bats. And it's helping them. And it's really, you know, the whole thing, the ball, the 3.5-hour time limit, has changed the approach that you have to take going into the season. And hopefully we can get a hitter on. I mean, I talked to Josh before about being on the show, so...
Well, Brett Harper of the Bay Stars called it a mush ball,
a mush ball.
Best ball he's ever seen. So, I mean, his opinion
is mush ball.
Well, Craig Brazell said it more or less the same thing. It was a soft, squishy ball that was impossible to drop. So,
right,
he said it wasn't suitable for single A ball.
Which is, again, no different for Takuya Nakamura of the Lions. He's bashing away. And so I'm not buying all that. I'm not buying that he really has changed his approach, maybe. But obviously,
he's trying to pull the ball.
If he's pulling the ball more, he knows that he has to pull it to get it out, and he's doing it, yeah. But I mean, you know, I don't think, what did you say, what was the percentage? I don't know that he hit that many home runs to the opposite field before. It's just that the number's down, the percentage.
No, he was, 56% to left, and he's gone from 56% to left to 83%.
Right.
So, it is different.
That's so far, yeah. We'll have to see how it plays out for him. But, I think the ball carries fairly well at Save the Dome.
It does, and carries well at Yokohama, too.
Yeah. You hear that, Brett?
Well, it does. Blood Pump is hard to drive. When you do manage to drive it, it's going to go pretty far. There are a lot of home runs hit. I mean, they play, it's an outdoor stadium. They play a lot of day games with visibility. Well, Dan Johnson exempted. The visibility is pretty good for hitters.
Except for the white sign.
It was
a white sign on the
silver.
Silver sign in center field that was.
Yeah, on either side of the scoreboard, that is a cotton beer can that bothered Dan Johnson.
Yeah.
And he hit right hand. He was hitting left-handed pitchers better than right-handed because he was getting to see the ball.
Well, yeah. He was the only one, right?
He was
just affected.
Well, that's not true, but left-handed hitters for the Bay Stars didn't have that big of a problem. But you could ask, Sledge has been there for 2 years now. We can ask him. We can ask Brett Harper. He's been there for a year and a half. So, yeah, that would be kind of interesting to see.
All right. Well, we'll keep moving along here. Let's get to the All-Stars now. I did look this up. It seems that the Pacific League All-Stars lead the Central League all time, 75-70. I got that off the NPB website. So that seems like, considering they played three games before in the past, and then they went to two, and then this.
Well, that's kind of misleading because.
Yeah, it does seem misleading.
It is misleading because in recent years the Central League has just dominated the All Star game,
mm-hmm.
and I think there's a good reason for that. And one is that it used to be. There's a popular phrase in Japanese, which I'll leave in Japanese, which is Ninki Sei Tsuyoi Pa, which is popular Central League and strong Central League, strong Pacific League.
Mm-hmm.
Because the All-Star fans used to vote the Giants, mostly Giants to the All-Star team, and they played the best in the Pacific League, and they used to get beat a lot. So what has changed are a couple of things. One, free agency has changed that because so many of the best Pacific League stars go to the Central League now. Although now we're beginning to see Central League stars go to the Pacific League.
Right.
the Pacific League is growing up rapidly. So we have had that. So we have had the Central League teams getting stronger and stronger and stronger. But on the other hand, we have another change in the voting pattern, which is that the fans have been choosing players from other teams in the last 5 or 6 years.
Maybe we can thank cable TV for that. I mean,
there's so much more information available to fans than there were 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, and they don't just sit around watching the Giants play every night like it was.
Well, the thing is, it used to be the Giants were on TV every night on terrestrial TV, and they're not anymore.
Right, exactly.
You have to choose who you're watching. And,
or you have options.
You have options.
Because I choose to watch every game I can try to fit in.
Well, that's because, yes, but not everybody is a maniac.
Oh! Not a maniac! Including, all the big league games I can watch in a day.
Right.
So.
I'm sorry. I didn't want to. I was just going to avoid the M word.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Thank
but
you.
It's true.
But it's true. I will avoid the M word, but it's true.
but sometimes you got to call something for what it is.
All right. Well, let's call this. They tell me we're having two games the past few years, I think, but now we're having three games again. Now, what's up with that?
Okay, they used to play three games, and the players' union, when it started testing out its strength about 10 years ago, decided that there was enough of that. So they said, no, we're only going to play two. And the NPD said, well, we want to play three to raise money for special events, such as the Japan Olympic team, or so in Olympic years, they would have three all-star games to sort of build up baseball. But they've used pretty much every excuse they can to have a third all-star game whenever they can get it. This year was a classic example. This year's third all-star game was originally made necessary to balance the commissioner's budget. Then they found a better excuse.
Excuse being the right.
Well, they found a real excuse, which was it was the 100th anniversary. This year was the 100th anniversary of the founding of the Japan Olympic Committee. Now try figuring that one out, what that's got to do with baseball.
Yeah, no connection.
Then they said, well, wait, we've got a better reason. There was an earthquake in Sendai. Let's hold a third game in Sendai. So we've got three this year. So
live with it. Okay. Well, I'm happy for the good folks of Sendai, and I think you said that some of the volunteers, and who are people who are they giving tickets away to?
Right. They're giving tickets to the volunteers and to the people who are evacuees.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll be able to attend, which is a great thing.
Yeah, it's too bad it's the third game of the series, and it's going to come on, you know, they're traveling from Nagoya to Chiba and then to Sendai on back-to-back-to-back days, and this is a 12:30 start, so good luck with that, but waking those baseball players up that early in the morning. Yeah, it's good. I'm glad for them. The first game is going to be on July 22nd at Nagoya Dome, and then on the 23rd they're playing at QVC Marine Field, and I'll be there at that game, and then on the
24th... Yay, John!
Yay. And then on the 24th they're going to be up in Sendai. So we got an email from Michael Mikoda in Idaho, and he wanted us to make our all-star picks. But before I do that, I want to explain what the all-star team means to me. When I was growing up as a kid in the States and watching the Major League All-Star game, I just wanted to see guys from my team play with the better players from the other teams and beat the American League, because I was a Dodger fan. I am a Dodger fan. So then I came to Japan, and I saw this all-star series thing where, you know, if a player doesn't play part of one game or at all in one game, he plays the next game or the next year or something. I'm like, well, this is kind of weird. You know, it's entertainment and it's not really competition. It's more like a pickup baseball game where guys are choosing sides and, you know, it's just kind of different. And so I just have really never been into the All-Star games here. It's not the same. It's not a big event. Mm-hmm. Like it is in the States, where there's one game, you got one chance, and by the way, who cares if there's a tie? I mean, it's an exhibition game, but you know, it's just for fun. It's for the fans, and you know, you just want to see your players do well. You know, the players that you like, the players you root for, you want to see them do well out there with the other great stars of the game. So, go ahead.
Well, I think for me, the All-Star game, it's got to be bigger in the States than it is here because there's one game.
Right.
That's one reason. And another thing is, I think the All-Star game, however, in the U.S., are you as interested now in the Major League All-Star game as you used to be?
You know, I'm going to watch it. And I can't say that I'm as interested, but I'm certainly interested. It's not like the Pro Bowl where in the NFL where you couldn't pay me to watch that game.
Wow.
The All-Star basketball game, you know, these guys
that's
running around and making...
Wow, that's like shortchanging American sports, John.
No, man, the Pro Bowl is a total vacation.
Okay.
I'd rather play.
I don't want to watch 80 guys on vacation. Okay.
No.
For me, I think what's really hurt the All-Star game is that it used to be in the major leagues one game where you got to see players from each league playing together
mm-hmm.
against players from the other league.
Right.
Now, that's still the only the case. That's still the only case where that happens. But now you have interleague play. These guys play against each other. I mean, not every year, but you see the Giants play the Yankees and the Giants. This year the Giants play the Red Sox or, you know, whoever. They played the Minnesota Twins and so on. So, you know, you see the best players from each league playing against each other during the regular season. it's not as big a deal when they only get to play once. When it's one shot, one game, one big event, that's fun.
Yeah, I think it still is in the sense that maybe the San Francisco Giants play the Yankees, and maybe some of those same players are going to be in, well, most likely, I think
right.
they are.
Well,
they're going to be in the All-Star game.
But
it's a different stage, it's a different format, and just because you see the Yankees play your favorite team doesn't mean it's the All-Star game. And for me, that still doesn't take anything away, and this is for me personally. If I see the Dodgers and the Yankees play in the regular season during interleague, and I see Matt Kemp facing Mariano Rivera in the All-Star game, it's still completely different for me, and I don't associate the two together. But
I think some of the
I do what you're saying. It takes away some of the appeal, and I can understand that. I understand your argument. I just disagree with you. I mean, it's not for me, not at all. I don't, you know, regular season games where you know the Dodgers are getting their nightly beating from somebody.
That's not even in the parking lot.
That's not even in the parking lot. Oh, my gosh. Or scraping by the lowly San Diego Padres. And I say lowly, but they're above the Dodgers in the standings.
Wow.
1-0. It's torture. But to see them in the All-Star game, that's a completely different thing. And so, I mean, you know, there's still hope, I guess.
You know what I used to look forward to in the All-Star game? Forward to in the All-Star game,
what?
The chance that the only San Francisco Giant on the roster would actually play.
Antley Hamaker.
Ooh! Oh, you're the guy, Gibson. You are a dead man. That was it.
I still haven't forgiven
you. You are dead.
Yeah, I'm dead.
You had to bring up Antley Hamaker.
Well, I don't even know that he was the only Giant on the team. What do you say?
I love Dally Hamaker, and he gives up the first All-Star game grand slam.
Red Man. I'll never forgive him for that. Never forgive him. What was that, 84? I can't even remember.
Oh, it was 84.
Oh, well, you look it up. I'll talk about what I did. Anyway. It's on your team. But you know what? The thing about this game for me, I'm sorry, you got the year?
I don't. We're beyond it. Move on.
Move on. You said, let's get over it. So for me, this game is about star power, or this series, because I shouldn't say it's a game, because now we've got three of them. So this series is about star power. But Mr. Mikota asked us to pick our All-Stars, and so what I did was I went on the premise that it would be one game, and these are going to be my starters. And that's how I went.
How did you base this interesting crew that you chose?
Well, I wanted to put some stars on the team.
Right.
Because
regardless of how well they're playing.
Not completely basing it on the numbers, but I wanted to bring in guys who are going to make me turn the TV on and want to watch the game, because some guys might be all numbers on their team, on their particular team, but they don't have any star power or enough drawing power. And some guys are up and comers.
Yeah, disagreements in this respect.
Right, and some guys are up and comers. They just haven't gotten the exposure, and they're bona fide stars. But they
I went basically with the 10 position players and the 3 pitchers who I thought are actually the best players right now.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to have a team, and star power didn't enter into it.
Okay. And, I mean, you know, that's going to draw a different kind of fan to the game than if you just put out some stars whose names people know, and they say, I know this guy, I like this guy, I'm going to watch the game. I mean, it's different. And so that's the approach that I took to pick my team. The games have no meaning, so to speak, so, it's completely exhibition, and people can lose interest if there's no stars out there doing something. I mean, remember when Shinjo... Yoshi Shinjo was going to pitch, and he threw to Ichiro in an All-Star game?
No.
You don't remember. It was a big deal. And, you know.
Got it wrong. It was the manager was Ogi.
Uh-huh.
The Oryx Blue Wave. So I'm guessing this was either 1996 or 1997.
In the 90s. Mm-hmm.
and he brought in Ichiro from right field to face Hideki. Okay, actually, I'll tell you, it was 1996 because the Central League, the Oryx Blue Wave, played the Swallows in the 1995 Japan Series.
Okay.
The Pacific League manager, Akira Ogi, brought in Ichiro Suzuki to pitch against Hideki Matsui, and Tatsuya Nomura, grumpy old man, manager of the Swallows then, had a spaz, and he pinch hit for Matsui with his closer, Shinzo Takatsu.
Okay, so what I'm remembering is
a great all-star moment, so it's sort of like, Ogi made this chance to have a great all-star moment.
Right.
You know, something everybody would remember. And Nomura just brought out his bucket of cold water and said, you're making light of the game, so I'm going to use my closer to pinch hit, and then we'll have a moment that nobody will remember.
Right. I doused thee with cold water.
I think Takatsu rounded out the short stuff.
Okay. I mean, moments like that are... You know, had it been Ichiro versus Matsui, would have been something to remember. And those guys, basically out of position, but sure, because they're superstars,
sure,
you know, it made for something memorable.
Right.
So that's you know, I want guys who are up and comers, but I also want guys who are going to draw interest to the game.
That's fair enough.
Okay. So let's see. You want to go through each of the teams? We're starting the Central League. Catching, I have with a big surprise.
Okay,
and the thing I noticed putting this whole thing together, the thing I noticed was the dearth of quality catchers in Japan. Good Lord.
Yeah. I mean, Tanishige is on Medicare, I think, now. And he's been a great player, but he's just not there right now. He's hurt and he's not playing. So.
I still, even if he wasn't hurt, I don't think he's a good enough hitter that he would have been on my team.
Jojima could be there if he's not hurt and if he's playing well, but he's doing neither. He's hurt and he's not playing well. When he wasn't playing well and now he's hurt and not playing well.
He was hurting the team, now he's just hurting.
Exactly. Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, at first base I had Craig Grizel.
Okay, here we have, we split here. I put the guy who's been perhaps the best hitter in the Central League in the last 9 months, over the past year, Kazuhiro Takayama. Right.
Yeah, and you know, I was torn about this, but his average went down recently, and he hasn't been as dominant a hitter. And if he's not going to be a dominant hitter, I'm going to take somebody who can hit the ball far, because again, we get these good matchups, and in these are essentially pickup games where people just swing at the first fastball near the zone or in the zone, and Brazil gets a hold of one, it's going really far, and that appeals to me, so that's why I picked Mr. Brazil.
I mean, if you wanted a star first base, then you get a USOR.
Yeah, I want somebody who can hit, though.
this year
is hitting.
I mean, okay. I have to differ. I mean, you want star power, nobody's going to turn. I mean, I like Greg Brazil, but he's not somebody that anyone's going to turn into watch if he's not the Hanshin Tigers thing.
That's probably true, but he's hitting better than Mr. Guts right now. And
Hatakayama's hitting better than Brazil, so there. Brazil's been hitting better recently.
I want them in the matchup with the fastball. I'd like to see him more than I'd like to see Hatakayama, because I think Craig could hit it farther.
Okay.
That's all. Just
okay. Second base.
Second base.
We both picked Keiichi Hirano of the Tigers.
Yeah, hands down, I think he's been the best second baseman, and he's a guy who probably doesn't have the star power that I like, but he's a Tiger, so that's a big, automatically,
that's a plus.
Gets a big following, and he's been playing great, so he deserves it.
Yeah, the guy who made the team as a manager selection would be interesting. Naoto Watanabe, who started his career with the Eagles, but now he's the starting second baseman for the Bay Stars. Not a star player, not a guy who's going to have a big career. He's already 28, but...
Yeah, he would not be on my... Yeah, he would not be on my radar.
No, he would not. But I guess the star we would leave out would be... The closest thing to a star would be Ibata or of the Dragons or Akihiro Higashide of the Cards, and neither of them are really having good seasons. So.
Right. I mean, Ibata's probably the best shortstop in if not Japan, in the Central League, and he's been playing second base all season. So, where he's been pretty much an average second baseman.
He would not be the best shortstop in the Central League anymore.
Maybe not anymore, but I'd still be comfortable if he were at short. Masahiro Araki, who I didn't pick at all to play on the team, but he'll probably make it anyway, maybe because of his offense. He's not a great shortstop. I'm not even sure that he's average. And one day we're going to have one of the scouts on to talk about guys and their defensive abilities and stuff. I'm not sure that he's going to grade out at average at shortstop, but he's a great second baseman. I would have picked him at second base for sure.
I think if he were playing second base this year, he would be the all-star second baseman.
I agree.
Okay, third base, we have another disagreement.
Well, I picked Shinya Miyamoto of the Yakult Swallows because
I want
Swallows represented because they're the first place team, and they're first place for a reason. And you got to get some of the guys out there, and I like what he's done at third. Plus, I really haven't seen standout performances from anybody at third, and why not?
Well, I picked Shuichi Murata, who is one star.
He is a star.
Miyamoto's on his. He's a good player. He's a great team player. He's not the Japan captain anymore. He's not the big star anymore.
Right.
A lot of the guy can still sock the ball out of the park.
He can.
If you want somebody who's going to hit the ball
and
hard.
He makes contact, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, but as long as you're going to pick on the base stars, well, let's get Miyamoto.
Yep.
Okay.
At shortstop, I have Hayato Sakamoto of the Giants.
And I have Takeshi Toritani, who's easily the best shortstop in the Central League right now.
And I probably would agree with
him. But he's not as popular as Sakamoto, so we better not shoot him.
Well, you know, if you're going to keep ribbing me like this, give me
the elbow. I don't know where to go with this.
I'm only doing this if it were one game. And, again, I want people to watch the game.
Okay.
And I want people to tune in and say, okay, these are some of the biggest stars in the game. And nationwide, if you take a poll, and I'm saying nationwide, if you take a poll, I think more people know Sakamoto than know Toritani.
I think in 3 years, Sakamoto is going to be the best player in Japan.
Well, I'm not going to go that far, but I think he's going to plateau. He's still going to go up. His plateau is climbing. But I'm picking him right now because he's the most popular, and I want some popularity on the field, and I want people watching, and that's why I picked.
So Takeshi Toritani, thanks for playing. See you next year.
You know what? Because there are three games, we know he's going to get a start. So
I'm only talking about one game.
But if we were talking about one game, he'd have to come in later.
Let's move on. My vitriol is all used up.
Well, you keep smacking me around like this. You wait till he's in the office. You'll never get banana bread from me again, buddy.
That's a real threat. Take some vicious banana bread.
All right, left field. I have Hisayoshi Chono of the Giants.
Okay, and I have the same guy, Hisayoshi Chono.
Okay, and again, the outfield.
We'll talk about that.
We could probably put all these guys in any of the spots, except I wouldn't put Chono in center field because of a lack of speed among the outfielders that I've chosen.
Yeah.
But he plays that spot on occasion for the Giants. So.
I have Norichika Aoki playing center field.
Yeah, I do too. I do too.
Okay.
And I have no arguments. And he's popular.
Vladimir Valentin and Wright?
Yeah, Valentin and Wright. And I was torn on whether to put him there or not. And I decided to go with Matt Merton.
Oh.
And I did because Valentin's average dropped and his power numbers dropped off. He's had a real back-to-earth kind of a situation since probably the beginning or maybe middle of June. So I decided to go with the guy.
Matt Merton's hitting home runs like they expected him to do, and he's now batting cleanup.
Yeah, and he's batting over 300 now, so I decided to go with him.
Ah, that's a good choice. He certainly deserves to be on the All-Star team.
My DH is, I'm going to go with Big Al, Alex Ramirez.
That's a good choice.
Over Valentin. I moved him out.
Well, you know, you got to play defense. And you know, Al would pretty much, Rami Channel would much prefer to be DH, and so you want to give him his wish. I go with Kazuhiro Wada. He's having a better season. So.
Okay. All right, pitching. My starting pitcher is Shohei Tateyama.
Same here.
And
that's his quality. Even though he's not a star player. I think if you wanted the star player, I think you'd go with Uzumi, the Giants. But Itumi is not a, you know, he's Sakamoto, I understand, because he's got some charisma going on.
Okay, okay. And then in middle relief, Takuya Asawa of the Dragons?
No doubt.
And my closer would be Dennis Sarfate of the Hiroshima.
And mine would be Kyuji Fujikawa.
And I just picked Dennis because I like, he's got a lot of strikeouts, and I like guys come in and get the strikeouts, and strikeouts to walk is really good, his whip is good. I'm going with that.
Yep, I understand that. I'd still go with Fujikawa. Pacific League.
In the Pacific League, catching, jeez. It's like
Satozaki, who else?
Yeah, Satozaki Tomoya from the Marines is the only guy.
He's not a bad choice. There's just no stud catches right now in the Pacific League.
None. At first base, I have Hiroki Kokubo.
Same here. Off Hiroki Kokubo, very deserving.
At second, I have Tadahito Iguchi over Yuki Honda of the Hawks.
Yeah, this is a tough choice. We both like Iguchi. We both love Honda. To be honest, I might think Honda's the better player, but Iguchi's had a better season, been there longer. That was a tough one.
At third, Takuya Nakamura Okawari of the Lions. Yep, not
here.
A doubt. Yep. Shortstop, Hiroyuki Nakajima.
And in here. He's not having a great season, but no Pacific League shortstops are really having good seasons.
So you picked the guy with the biggest name. Star power.
No, he's having the best season.
mm-hmm. I'm pulling an upset probably, or a shocker here.
Yeah, your name is a DH and left field is your DH.
I'm picking Shota Ishimine, the rookie from Lotte, because I think he's an up-and-comer. He's a guy who probably can make a name for himself in the All-Star game. And that's what I'm going with.
Tune in to see who is where Ishimine is playing, but yeah, okay.
All right.
I went with Sho Nakata, the Fighters left fielder. I think he's very deserving this year, and he's a big man. And he's a big boy.
In center, I have Yoshio Itoi of the Fighters, another guy I think is up and coming and needs a stage and make a name for himself. And he's a great player.
He is a great player. I have him in right, and I have your right fielder, Tomotaka Sakaguchi, in center. They're both center fielders, so you got to do something.
And I just put Itoi in center because I like his arm better.
DH, I went with a real DH as opposed to an outfielder, Kazuya Fukura of the Marines.
Okay, I picked Sho Nakata, so I just wanted to get his glove off the field so I have a chance of making some plays.
Oh.
I'm sorry, more plays. He's turned into a decent fielder, so it's not as bad as it could have been, or it was when he started, let's say that.
Yeah. Okay, and middle reliever?
Middle reliever, well, for starter...
skipping,
you Darvish, because it's so automatic, we don't even have to talk about it. So we go.
I think everyone picked Darvish.
The middle relief, I have Masahiko Morifuku of the Hawks.
We're in complete
agreement here.
Complete agreement here on the Pacific League pitching.
Same with
the closer, and the Fighters.
No question about it. He's
all right.
The man. All right, no questions this week. You can email the show at yakujohn@gmail.com. Send us questions and comments. Tell us what to do. Tell us if we're talking too much. Ha, ha, ha. Look for us on iTunes. You can search for Japan Baseball Weekly on iTunes, and you can find us there. Jim, have a good week.
You too, John.
We'll have another break with this All-Star thing coming up, but not for a while. So. I can remain a maniac and get my daily baseball fix. And you guys get your fixes as well.
All right.
Enjoy your baseball.
Nice.